Okay, today's daf Shabbat daf Kuf Nun Hey. We're at the top of Kuf Nun Hey. Amud Aleph Matnitin Matirin Pekiy Amir Lefnei Behemam Fas Fasin Et Akifin Avalo Et Azirin. Right. So you're allowed to untie pekiyin of grain for an animal on Shabbat. You're allowed to spread out kifin for an animal, but you're not allowed to spread out the zirin before an animal. Again, all these things are going to be interpreted in the Gemara. Ein miraskin lo et ashachat velo et acharuvid lifnei behema ben daka ben gasa. Right, you're not allowed to crush hay. You're not allowed to crush carobs on behalf of an animal on Shabbat. But that's whether it's for a big animal or a small animal, you can't crush hay or carobs. Rabbi Yehuda mati b'charuv in ladaka. However, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to crush up carobs for a small animal. Now we're gonna have a machloket as to what the issues with these things are. Is it unnecessary tircha? Right, you're not allowed to go out of your way to prepare food for an animal, or is it taking food that is not fit for consumption and making it fit for consumption? Okay, Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, hein hin pekiyin, hein hin kifin. Pekiyin and kifin, that which we spoke about in the Mishnah, they're the same thing. Pekiyin trei, kifin tlata. Just pekiyin are tied up twice, and kifin are tied up three times. But essentially the same thing. Zirin de'arzi. Zirin is something different. Zirin are actually just piles of cedar wood. V'hachikamar, right? And so understanding that, this is what the Tanakhama was trying to express in the Mishnah. Matirin peki amir lefnei behema, right? You are allowed to untie pekin of grain before an animal, umfasfasin, and you could spread out that food before them. Vuhuadin lekifin, and similarly, you can do it not only by pekin, but also for kifin. Avalo et hazirin, right? But you can't do that for zirin, right? You can't untie and spread out for zirin. Lo fasfes, lo lahatir. You can't untie, you can't spread. Amar Rav Chizda, my taima de Rav Huna. And what is the svarah behind Rav Huna? Why he understands that these are the things that you can and can't do. Kasavar lamitrach beuchla tarchinan leshvui uchla lo mashvinan. Because he holds that you're allowed to go out of your way, you're allowed to do a tircha, you're allowed to expend effort on behalf of preparing animal food, but you're not allowed to make it into animal food, right? So when it comes to untying and spreading, that's effort, you're allowed to do that. However, when it comes to preparing cedar wood in their normal state, they're not fit to be eaten. So you'd have to change it in order to, just for it to be fit to eating. And because you're allowed to go out of your way to prepare animal food, you're not allowed to change its state to make it fit for eating. That is the iser. Rav Yehuda amar hein hin pekin hein hin zirin. Rav Yehuda, however, says that pekin and zirin are the same thing. Pekin tre zirin tlata. Right? Pekin are tied twice, and zirin are tied three times. Kifin de arzi, and it's the kifin that is the cedar. V'achikamar. And then this is how the Mishnah would read: Matirin pekiy amir lefnei behema. You're allowed to untie pekin in front of an animal, avalo paspuse. You can't spread it out. Aval paspuse lo, right? You can't spread it out. But kifin, when it comes to untying kifin, paspuse nam paspusinan. You can even spread them out. Avalo de zirin. However, regarding zirin, you're not allowed to lo lefasfes elahatir. You cannot spread it out, only to untie, right? Now, what would be the reason that the most lenient thing is preparing the cedar wood? Amarava my time at Rav Yehuda kasavar shavuya uchla mashvinan mitrach beuchla lutarchinan. Right, it's because he holds the opposite, that on Shabbat you are not allowed to expend unnecessary effort into prepare animals' food, but you're allowed to make it edible if it is not edible, right? And that's why he believes that the cedar wood is the most lenient thing, because that's what requires your effort in order to make it edible. Tanan, in the Mishnah, ein miraskin et ashachad v'tacharuvin lifnei behema. You're not allowed to crush up hay. You're not allowed to crush up carobs in front of an animal. Ben daka ben gasa, whether it's small animal, big animal. My love charuvidu midashachad. Now, can we not understand that teaching as follows? That why do we teach carobs and hay together? Is it not because we're teaching about carobs that are similar to hay? Mashacha derakicha af charuvin derakiche. Right. So just like hay is soft, so we're dealing with soft hay and soft carobs. Alma lo tarchinan uchlan v'tiyuv t'deravuna. Right. And so if you're not allowed to crush up soft carobs, while carobs can be eaten as they are, right? So you're not allowed to crush them up. That's unnecessary effort regarding the food. So and so if we understand that we're dealing with soft carobs, and still we say you're not allowed to crush them up, then it's very clear that you're not allowed to be toreach by ochel. You're not allowed to expend unnecessary effort by ochel, and that's a difficulty to Rav Huna, who believes that you're allowed to. Amar Rav Huna, but Rav Huna would respond as follows: Lo shachadu mida charuvin, ma charuvin da akushe, af shachad akushe. We're not dealing with the reason we put carobs and hay as the same category is not to say that the carobs are soft; it's to say that the hay is hard, right? What type of hay is hard? So when it comes to young donkeys, so they can only eat really, really, really soft hay, right? So it's not that the hay is like is rock hard like carobs, but it's just not soft enough, is what we mean. Tashma, so let's try to resolve this dilemma. This machalk led Rabbi Yehuda matir becharuvin ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to crush up carobs for a small animal. Ladaka in lagasa, no. Lo. So that would mean that for a small animal, yes, you're allowed to crush it up, but for a large animal, you are not allowed to crush up the carobs. Emar bishla tanakama savar. Now, mitrach ba'ucha lo terchinan. So, if you want to hold, if you say the tanakama's svara is that you are not allowed to expend unnecessary effort for food, shavuyim ashvinan. However, you are allowed to make something fit for consumption. Haynu didkam or Rabbi Yehuda charuvin ladaka nami shavuyim ochlehu. Right. That is why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to crush up carobs for a small animal, because before it's crushed up, it's not fit for consumption for them. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're allowed to, because you're allowed to make something fit for consumption. And non-crushed up carobs aren't fit for consumption. That makes perfect sense. If you want to say that Tanakama really says that you're not allowed to make something fit for consumption, mitrach bucha terchinan, however, you are allowed to do unnecessary tircha for food, Rabbi Yehuda mati b'charun ladaka kol shekin lagasa, then if Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to crush up carobs for a small animal and call that unnecessary work, all the more so for a big animal, right, you would say that it's going to be a mutter. Mi savar daka mamash, my daka gasa umay kari le daka de daik beuchla. Right, understood. But who says that when we say daka that Rabbi Yehuda permitted crushing up carobs for small animals? Let me just make sure I explain that right. So if a carob is fit for a small animal, it's definitely going to be fit for a large animal. Right, so if Rabbi Yehuda permitted you to crush carobs for a small animal, all the more so he would permit you to crush carobs for a large animal. Why? Because if the carobs are fit for consumption for a small animal, they're definitely going to be fit for consumption for a big animal. So if you believe that if Rabbi Yehuda allows you to crush food for a small animal, then he doesn't think that crushing that food constitutes making food edible, right? But if it doesn't constitute making food edible for a small animal, it definitely doesn't constitute making food edible for a large animal, which could eat it even more easily, which means that it's very puzzling why Rav Yehuda would say that you could do it for a small animal, but not for a large animal. Because if you're allowed to crush the food for a small animal, also it must not be that you're making it edible. Then all the more so you should be able to do it for a large animal. But he says that you can't do it for a large animal. So it's very unlikely that what Rav Yehuda holds is that, it's very unlikely that what the Tanakhama holds is that you're not allowed to make food edible on Shabbat, but you are allowed to exert effort for food on Shabbat, right? So how exactly do we respond to such a case where Rav Yehuda seems to allow doing this for a small animal but not for a large animal? Mi savar daka daka mamash, my daka gasa, umay kari la daka de daik beuchla. Right? Yeah, when Rav Yehuda said daka, when he said a small animal, he didn't really mean a small animal, right? That's not what we meant by behema daka, right? What we meant by behema daka is really, he was talking about a large animal, right? Okay, then why did he call it a small animal, right? No, he wasn't calling it a small animal. He was using the word daka to mean something else. Daka comes also from the Lashon ledayik, meaning it's very particular about what it eats, right? So it wouldn't have eaten this otherwise, and that's why you're allowed to crush it up. But only for an animal that wouldn't eat it otherwise, because it's very particular about what it eats, you're allowed to crush up. But you would not be allowed to crush up food for any other type of animal. So it's not that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to crush up food for a small animal but not for a big animal, because seemingly it would be all the more so you could crush up food for a big animal, because if crushing up food doesn't constitute rendering the food edible, then it definitely doesn't constitute rendering the food edible for a large animal. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda understands daka and gasa very differently. Hamid k'tani reisha ben daka uven gasa miklad Rabbi Yehuda daka mamash kamar. Gotcha. Okay, but from the fact that the Reisha says whether we're talking about a daka or a gasa, whether we're talking about a small or a large, that would seem to indicate that daka, according to Rabbi Yehuda, really is small and not milashon midayik. Yeah, that would definitely seems to indicate that that's a difficulty that we don't know how to resolve, right? It's because if you wanted to say that earlier, if you wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda, when he said daka, was not really talking about a small animal, he was using it b'lashon l'tayek, the particular what you eat, then how do we say earlier on in the Mishnah, ben daka ben gasa, whether it is daka or gasa? That definitely sounds like when we say gasa, we mean small as opposed to large. Okay, Tashma. Right, you're allowed to cut up a gourd before an animal, and you're allowed to cut up meat before a dog. My love, now, why would we teach those two things in the same category? Because we're probably talking about a gourd that is similar to nevela. Right, so just like the nevela, the meat is soft. So too, we're talking about a soft gourd. But if you're talking about a soft gourd, then it's edible. And in which case, what we're talking about is expending unnecessary effort on behalf of preparing food for animals. And it would be, and what we say is that it's allowed. And that's clearly a difficulty for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to expend unnecessary effort on preparing food. Amar Chara Rabbi Yehuda, hello, nevela dun and dluin. No, flip it. The reason we taught the nevela and dluin together is to teach you that this nevela, the meat, is similar to a gourd. Madluin da ashune af nevela da ashune. Just like a gourd is hard, so too the nevela is hard. Right? Vehech mishkachad le bivasar pili. Inami begu raita zutri. Right? And okay, well, what kind of hard meat are we talking about here? Either elephant's meat, or we're just talking about normal meat that was put out before puppies and they couldn't eat it properly. Right? So it's not to suggest we're dealing with soft gourds, right? In which case it's perfectly edible, and then the only reason, and if you're allowed to cut it up, it's because you are allowed to expend unnecessary effort for food. Rather, it's hard, and what we're doing by cutting it up is making it edible, and that's the thing that you're allowed to do. Tashma aritani Rav Chanan minar do me farchin teven vaspasta umarvin. Right, you're allowed to grind up straw and aspasta on Shabbat. Alma tarchina beuchla. Clearly, you're allowed to expend unnecessary effort for food. Teven betivna saria aspasta beile zutre. No. What we're dealing with here is rotten straw that needs to be prepared in order for it to be basically edible. Right? We're not talking about you're crumbling up to prepare it in a very specific way, but it's already edible beforehand. No, it's rotten. You have to prepare it in order for it to be edible at all. And when we're speaking about the aspasta, we were talking about aspasta being fed to young donkeys, and the young donkeys can only eat it if it's in small pieces. Otherwise, it's not considered fit for eating, but we're not talking about an unnecessary tircha. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein ovsin tekamal velo dorsin aval amal itin. Right? You can't be ovis, right? So you can't force feed an animal, and you can't overfeed an animal. However, you are allowed to do something called a mal'itin. You are allowed to put food in its mouth in a very specific manner that we're going to deal with. U'mehalkitin tarnagolin, right? And you're allowed to put, Ve'ein ma'amirin et ha'agalim aval mal'itin. Right, you're not allowed to force food into the mouths of a baby cow. However, you are allowed to do something called hal'ata. Umehalktin l'tarnagolim, and you're allowed even for chickens to do halktana, right? So, which is a form of force feeding. V'notni ma'im l'mursan, and you're even allowed to put water. You're even allowed to put water into their feed, aval lo govlin. But you can't then knead the water into the feed. Ve'ein notni mayim lifnei dvorim lifnei yonim sheva shuvach. Right, and you can't put water before bees or before doves in a dove coat. Aval notni lifnei avazim tarnegolim lifnei yonei har disayot. Right. However, you are allowed to put water before geese and chickens, or very specific doves from Hardisa. Okay, the Gemara, my ain ovsin. What do we mean by the term ovsin here? Amar Yehuda ain ovsin la ebus p'toch mea. That you can't make a, you know, a collection of food like a food trough inside of its stomach. V'ika ki hai gavna. Does that, you know, is there really such thing as making a food trough inside an animal's stomach? In, yeah, there is. Because Amar Yehuda yirmi amidifti aditi chazili ahutia da uchla kura v'adina kura. Right. So as Yirmi amidifti would speak about that, he once saw an Arab traveler who fed a full core of food to his animal and then loaded another core on its back. Basically, he wanted to transport two core. So he turned the animal's stomach into a trough that could carry a core and put another core on its back. So yeah, we see it. It's done. You can't do it on Shabbat. And ma'amirin. Said you can't be ma'amir. Ezohi hamra ve'ezohi halta. Okay, we spoke about hamra and we spoke about halta. Which one's which? What are we talking about here? Amar Yehuda hamra lemakom sheni yachol achzir. Hamra is putting food into the animal's mouth, in a place that they're not going to be able to bring it back up. However, putting it in the halta is putting the food in the animal's mouth in a place that it can bring it back up. Rav Chisda says they're both actually talking about putting the food to a place that the animal cannot get it back up. However, hamra is feeding it with a kli, and halata is feeding it by hand. Mati for Yosef challenged that shita mehalketin l'tarnegolin. You're allowed to do halkata for chickens. Ve'ein tzarach lomar malkitin, right? And obviously, if you can do halkitin, right, then you can do malkitin. Ve'ein malkitin liyone shuvach v'liyone aliyah. However, you are not allowed to do malkitin for doves in a dove coat. Or doves in an attic. Right? And if you can't be malkitin them, obviously you can't be halkitin them. Okay, now let's talk about what that means. My mahalkitin, my malkitin. If you want to say that mahalkitin means force feeding it by hand, malkitin deshadile lekamayhu, and therefore, okay, so if that's force feeding it by hand, then the step more makel in that would be what? Not force feeding at all, right? The shari lekamayo is just throwing it in front of them. Because the yonashuvach v'yonahliyam mishta kamayo namilo. But would you suggest that you're not even allowed to put water in front of birds? You're not even allowed to. You're not even allowed to throw food before doves and before other birds. I mean, I understand you're not allowed to force feed them, but what on earth would be the problem with just putting the food before them, right? So if you wanted to say that mahalkatin was feeding by hand, then malakatin would have to be one step more makil, which would just be putting it in front of them. And we can't think of any iser. Elav mahalkatin lemakom shenu yachol achzir, malkitin lemakom shenu yachol achzir. Rather, it doesn't really make sense to understand mahalkatin and milaktin in that way of feeding it by hand as opposed to putting it in front of it. Rather, it does make sense to suggest that the difference is putting it in a place that it can bring it back up and putting it in a place that it cannot put it back up. But then we have words that mean putting it in a place that that can bring it back up and putting it in a place that it cannot bring it back up. Mikla de hamra bakli, right? But that would mean that hamra would not be referring to putting it in a place that it can't put it back up, because we already have a term for that, mehalkatin, right? And that would seem to indicate that hamra is actually feeding it by kli, with a vessel, and not by hand, v'tufta, the Rav Yehuda. And that's a difficulty to Rav Yehuda's shita, who believes that it's not the discrepancy is not between a kli and bayad, rather a place that it can spit it back up and a place that it can't spit it back up. But we just oppose the problem for that shita. Amr al-Khar Rav Yehuda, would respond as follows. Le'olam mehalkatin desafi libiyade. Rav Yehuda says, actually, the term mehalkatin does mean that you're feeding it by hand. Malkitin deshari lekamayu. And malkitin does mean that you're putting the food in front of them. So yakash shilach, yone shovach, yone aliyah, demishti kamayu, namilo. And then what's difficult for you the fact that we said, the fact that that would seem to indicate that it can't even put food in front of a dove cote or in front of doves in an attic. Ha mazonatan alecha, vani im zonatan alecha. Right? Yeah, inachinami, you are not allowed to put food in front of them. But then how is it in the Mishnah we speak about putting food in front of chickens and geese? Because the chickens, they're, anything that we mentioned, the chickens and the geese, their mazonot is on you. They rely on you for their sustenance. They don't get sustenance without you. However, when it comes to things that would get sustenance without you, right? They could fly around and find their own food. There, you're not allowed to feed them. So yeah, inachinami, you're not allowed to put food in front of a dove cote or doves in an attic. Their mazonot isn't on you. Kedatanya, we learned in the Braita, notnin mazonot lifnei chelev, ve'ein notnin mazonot lifnei chazir. Right? You're allowed to put food before a dog, but not before a pig, because a dog is on you to sustain. You give it its food. Umay fresh ben zelaze. Now, what would be the what would possibly be the difference between a dog and a pig? Ze mazonot avalecha, ze ein mazonot avalecha. The difference between a dog and a pig is that a dog, its food is your responsibility, and a pig, its food is not your responsibility. So since we see that discrepancy, as we see that difference between the two, we know that there is, we know that when it comes to animals that are not relying on us for their food, you can't feed them. So it's not a problem. It's not crazy to suggest that you would not, that it's not crazy to suggest that Malakatin refers to feeding it by hand. Mahalakatin, it refers to putting the food out in front of it. And yet, it would still be usur for doves to do that. Amar Rav Ashi, Matniti Nami Deka Daika. Rav Ashi says, actually, you can be Medaik that in our mission itself. Ein notin mayim lefnei dvorim lefnei yonim shebashovach, aval notin lefnei avazin lefnei tarnagolim lefnei yonim hadarsiot. My time, lav mishum dahanim zonatam elecha vahani ein zonatam elecha. The Mishnah teaches me that I'm not allowed to put water in front of bees or in front of doves in a dove coat, but I can put water in front of geese, in front of chickens, and in front of yonim hadarsiot, right? So what would be the reason for this discrepancy? Isn't it because the chickens and the geese and the yone hardisayot are my responsibility to feed, but the doves in the dove coat and the bees are not my responsibility to feed, right? So that's an extra diuk from our Mishnah that would seem to indicate that there's a difference between whether something's your responsibility to feed or not. Well, according to that svara, that you want to suggest that our Mishnah is implicit, that our Mishnah implies that there's a difference between something that's mizonatav alecha, that relies on you for its sustenance, and something that's not, then you know what? It could have said that you're even allowed to put wheat and barley in front of the animals, but it just talks about water, right? Why is it that if you'd be allowed to put anything in front of the animals, it's only talking about wheat and barley and not talking, it's only talking about water and not talking about meat, wheat and barley? Ela shani maya the shrikha ba'agma. Rather, there's a difference here. It's not because there's a difference here, right? So when it comes to water, water is found pretty easily. It's found everywhere. So animals that will be able to find it on itself, like doves and bees, you don't put it in front of them, right? However, the animals that would not be able to find it on by themselves, you do put it in front of them. See, it's not because it's mizonat avalecha and mizonat avalecha. Rather, we're dealing with water here. So which animals can find it on their own and which one cannot find it on their own? Darash Rabbi Yona apitcha debe nesia ma'idichliv yodet tzadik din dalim. So Rabbi Yona darshan on the entrance to the house of the Nasi. What does it mean that was written that a tzadik knows the din of the less fortunate, right? So, righteous people know the reason that people are poor. Yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bakelev Shemitzotav Mu'atin L'fikach Shoha Achilato B'me'av Shloshiyam. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that dogs are they don't eat very much, and food is hard to come by. And so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the food last in the dog's stomach for very long, so doesn't he eat so frequently. Right, so if a dog eats tame food, how long is it still considered tame in its stomach, and isn't considered to have completely lost its tame status? When it comes to a dog, it's 3 days from the time it enters to exactly 3 days later. However, when it comes to fish, or when it comes to birds, it's the amount of time it takes for meat to fall into a fire and be burnt. Meaning that fish and birds digest the food very quickly, whereas dogs do not digest the food very quickly. In fact, it takes 3 days for the dogs to digest the food. Amar Ravuna Shmamina Orach Ara Lumishta Umsalakalva. We can learn from here, by the way, that it's appropriate. It's a good practice to give meat to dogs. V'chama, and how much should you give them? Amar Rav Mari Mishach Udna, the size of their ear. V'chutra Abatre. But then you should hit it with a stick, so you don't, you know, be ch so it doesn't attach itself to you and have you have a wild dog walking around. Hanimili be'davra, that's only in the wilderness of Abamata, but if you're in the ear, lo de'ati le'mitzrach, right? You shouldn't feed a dog, a wild dog, in the city, because then it's definitely gonna come to follow after you. Amar Rav Papa, late de ani mekalva, but late de atir mechazira. Right, there's nothing more poor than a dog, and nothing more rich than a pig, because a dog eats very few foods, and the pig will eat just about anything, so it's rich because it always has something to eat. Tanakavatet Rav Yehuda, Braita was taught in accordance with the Yehuda Shita. Ezuhi Hamra, what is Hamra? What is the halacha of Hamra? Ezuhi Halta, and what is Halta referencing? Hamra mar bi. So hamra is when you lie an animal down and you force feed it food and water at the same time. Halata is when you feed it standing up and you give the drink standing up. Right, and you don't even give them at the same time. Okay, we're going to stop here.